All right. What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we're coming at you with part two of our Haunting of Hill House series, I guess. Part two and the final part. Two-part series. In this episode, we are going to be discussing episodes 6 through 10. In our first episode, we obviously discussed the first five episodes, and yeah, this one we're rounding out series. Doing this has made me want to do Flanagan's other shows.
Like on podcast or just watch?
Yeah, well, both, but yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not right away,
Yeah.
but
Yeah,
at some point in the near future, I think it'd be fun to do them because I don't know. I've had a good time doing this and it gave me an excuse to rewatch the show. So
down.
sweet. We can discuss at a later date.
Okay.
But before we start talking about this show, second half of it, we'll kick off our booze and news and booze. Jesus Christ. I swear
Lots of booze.
I haven't had very much booze tonight. All right, what are you drinking?
I still got my Michelobes. Working on those,
Me
How about
too.
you?
Me too.
Woo!
Michelob Brothers. Bow, bow, bow. All right, well, what have you been watching?
A few things. I forget if I mentioned Smile 2 last time. I probably did. It's good. I liked it.
It's good.
Watched a movie called Eve's Bayou. It's all right. It has Samuel Jackson in it, so he's running away with my most watched actor right now.
Was this part of your Hooptober?
So funny story. So
Okay.
I listened to the Ringer podcast there about the movies and stuff, and they did a 1997 Ringer draft or 97 movie draft, and they're talking about like horror movies because one of the categories, and one of the guys was like, yeah, I mean, like Eve's Bayou is like kind of horror. So I was like, okay. So I added to my Hooptober, and then like halfway through, I'm like, this is like 100% a drama, like not even close to a horror movie. But yeah, it is all right.
Okay.
Watched Inside Out 2. It's on Disney Plus now. I thought it was pretty good. Wasn't as good as the first one.
Okay.
But it's very interesting and funny to see all the other emotions that are in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I gotta watch it still.
Watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers as part of my Hooptober. This is a first watch for me. Stack cast, holy shit. Like, I didn't even know that Leonard Nimoy was in it or Jeff Goldblum. That was a surprise.
Right, I forgot Goldblum's in it too.
Yeah. It was pretty good. Then I watched Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth. And people may be wondering, why the fuck is Hellraiser 3 the same rating as Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Like, are you fucking crazy? I just had a really good time with it. I liked it more than the sequel. Just like the design and the like effects in these movies are so good. I'm sure it's gonna fall off soon here, but yeah,
I
just
mean,
it's good.
you're already rating the first three higher than I did, so
Yeah,
maybe it's just a franchise that you enjoy.
because this one kind of reminded me of like Jason Takes Manhattan, like It's just fucking Pinhead released in New York City, and that's fucking wild. I watched Saturday the 14th. That's also part of my Hooptober. It was all right. It is definitely like way ahead of its time for like horror comedies, I feel like.
Oh
It
shit, it was
was
81.
yeah.
Holy fuck.
And it has fuck, what's his name? From Hellboy and
Ron Perlman?
no, he was the dad on that Netflix show with Jason Bateman and Michael
Oh.
Cera. What the fuck's his name? Anyway,
Yeah, I know who you mean.
he's in this and like he looks exactly the same as he does today, just like a bit younger. It's hilarious. Then I had to watch Anime Before Christmas.
Nice.
Been putting together my Lego that I got of this, so
Sweet.
yeah. And yeah, that's it. I bought and finished Silent Hill 2 remake. Fucking scary ass fucking game. Amazing game. It's such a psychological and scary game. Like just is like there's just so much to it. It's insane.
Is it worth the price tag? Because we're all kind of surprised that it was a full priced game.
I think it is because the replayability of it is insane. In the original game, there was six different endings. In this one, there's eight different endings, and the way they do the endings, it's not like, you collect something or do something like a dialogue option and you get that ending. It bases it off what you do as James, as the main character. So like if you look at your dead wife's photo, like when she was alive, or her handkerchief, and you like you heal yourself right away and you kill like less than 100 people in the game, then you get this ending. If you look at like this knife and choose this thing and go through this door, then you get this ending. Like it's crazy. Yeah, definitely worth the first playing. But it'll probably be on sale, I'm sure.
Because I almost bit the bullet and bought it the other night after you beat it, but I
Yeah.
haven't yet.
Yeah.
All right.
What was you?
For me, I don't remember where I left off last week, but it's still just working through my Hooptober. I watched Fresh, which I can't remember if I talked about.
I don't think so.
Love that movie. So fucking good. Such a good mix of just like brutal, gory, I don't know, horror and comedy. I don't know. Great time. Rewatched Suspiria, the original.
Nice.
So good. Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night Part 2. This series, I don't think I'm going to like it. Because generally, the first couple are the better ones, and then the franchise teeters off, is usually how it goes. And I already don't really like the first two. So we'll see how the rest of the movies go.
Nice.
And then the boys have been bugging me to watch Ghostbusters, and I was kind of holding off on it because I don't know, man. There's like that library scene, I was just like, is that going to be too scary for them? But
Yeah.
we did it and they enjoyed it. They kind of got a little
Nice.
bored here and there, but
Yeah.
they just
Yeah.
kept wanting to see Slimer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the green
That's
ghost?
fair
When's
enough.
he come out? We just watched the fucking movie. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've done, and obviously watched Hill House. Haven't been playing too much. I bought this Shirley Jackson box set, and because I wanted the Haunting of Hill House book after we finished watching the show, and it's got five of her books, so I'm really excited to
Damn.
check them all out. I really want to read this one to
Yeah.
see, like, compare and contrast the book to
They
the
look
show.
like from the pictures, also like short stories. Are they full books or are they short?
They're full books, but they're not like overly long books. Like The Haunting of Hill House, I think, is like 190 pages. So it's a full one. But the one book is it's just a book full of short stories, yeah. But yeah, pretty a boring week otherwise. As for our news, I only have one thing. Kind of funny. The Wayans brothers have agreed to return for Scary Movie 6.
I literally like saw that just tonight,
Yeah.
yeah.
Which I think is funny. I don't know. We'll see how they do it because we are in a very different generation than it was whenever the first five movies came out. So we'll see if they tone it down for the wokeness, but
I don't know. You know, I think we need it, honestly.
I agree wholeheartedly, but
Yeah.
we shall see. And I feel like, yeah, the Wayans brothers don't give a fuck really.
Did
So
they do all of them or just the first like three?
I can't remember. I don't remember if they did all of them.
Yeah.
There's another thing too that I just thought of. Oh, Saw. The first Saw movie was released 20 years ago.
Yeah, I saw that in your Instagram, so thanks for making me feel old.
Yeah, it's fucking disgusting. That other story that I put up, I'm fully expecting to get some hate on that, but
No, I applauded it, so
did you? Good.
yeah.
I had two people already message me, but they were two friends, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care. I said what I said. The Exorcist is overrated as the scariest movie of all time.
Yeah.
Right. Do we have any 4Ks?
We do. So, oops. We got Vacation, the remake, legacy sequel, whatever you want to call it.
Nice.
The Hitcher. Shout out our boy Jeff.
Jeff.
Matthew.
Oh, he wants to do Joyride.
Oh, Joyride. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Been on our ass for the past 4.5 years.
The Intern. We
Okay.
got Tag. Delirium, photo of Goya, I don't know. Lamberto Bava, is he like what's his name's brother?
Maybe.
Howling 2, your sister is a werewolf. All right. Baby Blood, interesting. And the classic Halloween movie, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. That's a weird fucking release this week. Zodiac. Feel like Zodiac was already on 4K, but I guess not.
Yeah.
Addams Family Values,
Nice.
Trick or Treat, which I was very close to buying that on Amazon the other day,
I saw
but
that
I had to
too.
stop myself. Drag Me to Hell.
Nice.
And Wes Craven's Shocker.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Love the cover of that Trick or Treat 4K.
Yeah, me too.
Sick. What did we or what did you order it? I can't remember. What was it? Fuck. I pre-ordered it. Was it? Oh, Terrifier 3, the collector's edition. That's right.
Yeah, no, I don't think I did yet.
Are you actually going to?
Probably not.
Are you gonna spend money on Terrifier?
Well, I did on Terrifier 2.
Did you? Oh
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
remember Erica got
Yeah.
us the,
Yeah, the steel cover, the steel book.
yeah.
Yeah, that's
I
still
did
sitting on
buy,
a pile.
is it?
Yeah.
Wow, even though I watched mine. I did buy Bram Stoker's Dracula on 4K, though, because it was on
Nice.
sale, so.
Also sitting on my pile right now. So is your copy of Oppenheimer.
Nice.
I still have your copy of Tenet.
Nice.
Alan's copy of Doctor Sleep.
Okay.
I've yet to watch that at all.
Damn.
And then, yeah, there's a bunch on there. Lots and lots. All right. Well, I guess we can start talking about this show. I almost said movie.
Yeah.
We kind of already did like a series rundown on the last episode, so I don't think we need to do that. But just kind of so in the first half, we met the Crane family in two different timelines. Kind of see them moving into Hill House, and there's some funky shit going on throughout. And then at the end of episode five, we saw the absolutely heartbreaking death of Nell. So in the second half of the series, we kind of see the adults going through the grief of that and dealing with the return of their father, who has kind of been what's the word, ostracized from them, I guess. And then we keep getting flashbacks throughout, and it just kind of fills in the pieces of the puzzle,
A little bit, yeah.
little things that we had missed throughout the first five episodes, and just kind of filling everything in. But yeah, still the same cast as before. We aren't really introduced to any new characters in this one.
I do have to give a shout out to Nathan Scott, though.
Yes, I forgot about that. Okay, so yeah, there we go. Of One Tree Hill fame. Yeah, I think he's really the only. I mean, we meet Poppy, but I didn't write down who the actress was that played her.
Poppy
Poppy Hill.
is the ghost. Yeah.
Anywho, so let's just we'll kick it off.
All
Unless you
right.
have more that you want to say.
No. Episode six, it's called Two Storms. Basically, this is a reunion episode of everyone coming together. So they're at the funeral home getting ready for Nell's funeral. Luke and Steve show up. Hugh is still at the hotel. And Nell's body is in the other room already. And Luke hasn't. So Luke and Steve haven't seen Nell yet, since she passed. And so they're kind of taking their time. And then finally, Steve is like, I don't know, Luke leaves the room and he really can't do it. But then eventually he's like, okay. And then Steve is like kind of being like joking, like he's trying to bring light to it, I guess, a little bit. He's like, yeah, just rip the band-aid off, get over with. So they go up and they see Nell, and Steve is the one that breaks down. And I really like Steve in the latter half of the series, because he learns a lot about himself, and you understand kind of why he was a dickhead in the first half of the season. And he has a lot more issues that you learn in this second half. And he kind of tries to make a joke here with Luke. He says something like, oh yeah, that's some but oh yeah, cop, that's the body there, or something like that. And he starts like laughing, but then he like breaks down and starts crying. And Luke isn't crying, but Steve is like breaking down, and he has to leave because he can't take it.
And like the way we see him in this episode is kind of what we touched on in our first episode of this, where we were saying like he's supposed to be the older brother and he just seems like he doesn't give a fuck about any of them. But in this episode especially, we really see that kind of break out of him. We see him break down those walls and he realizes like, I lost my little sister. Like she's the youngest one in the family, and now she's gone. So it's a whole new side of him that we see in this episode, and then again, like you mentioned, throughout this whole second half of the series.
But he's telling them about the separation because he didn't tell any of them that he's not with Lee anymore. He doesn't really say exactly what it is. But you later find out that he didn't tell her that he got a vasectomy whenever he was right out of college. So, they're together for I'm guessing a pretty long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're married or engaged, or they're probably married actually. They got separated. And so she left him, or they're taking a break, or so that is a pretty shitty thing to do. But basically his excuse or his reasoning was he doesn't want to bring people into this fucked up family.
Yeah, because he thinks that the family is diseased. He's sick and tired of hearing about it being a haunted house and that it's the house that caused all this. He said, no, like we're a fucked up family. We're a diseased family. And I don't want to pass that disease on to children. Which is kind of a kick in the face to Shirley, because I mean, she has two kids, but like just that kind of mindset. But yeah, I agree. Super shitty what he did to Lee, because like they'd been trying for 2.5 years, they said. And like just making her think that there's something wrong with her, something wrong with him. Like, but meanwhile, he knows in his mind that he's shooting blanks.
And I love that in this later half of the series, Steve is the one that now starts to see all the ghosts as well. Because he sees, I think, Nell in this episode in the funeral home. And Theo is like been drinking all day, and she's kind of a dickhead in this later half. They find out that like Steve flew first class with Luke and Dad was in coach, and Steve is like, he wanted to fly coach, like, but yeah.
I get why Theo was drinking all day too, though. Like, 'cause we mentioned in our first episode, like she was the one that was always kind of protecting Nell. And so she's using alcohol as a means to cope with the loss of this. But yeah, I don't know. I still love Theo in the second half of the series. She made some questionable choices, but we find out why and like what actually happened. And we find out a lot more about her. You mentioned it in our first episode about how she wears the gloves, and we find out why in these later episodes. So I don't know. I kind of liked learning a little bit more about her.
So Hugh finally shows up, and I absolutely loved as soon as he walks in, all the his kids are sitting there standing in their positions as adults, and as soon as it goes to his POV, it's all of them as little kids, and I fucking love that. And I thought the actor that played the older Hugh, I thought he did a great job, man. Like
He did.
he's so good. You feel so bad for him, and I love him and Steve's relationship throughout the rest of this series, because they are at first, they hate each other. At one point during this episode, Luke ends up leaving. He steals Theo's car and takes Shirley's credit card, and Steve is like, okay, I'm gonna go get him. And then Hugh gets in the car, and Steve's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm fucking coming with you. And they argue the whole car ride, but then by the end of the series, we see Steve learn about his father, because he's actually opening up to his dad and accepting what his dad is telling him. Because usually whenever his dad starts talking about like ghosts and stuff, he was like, oh, you're fucking stop talking about that fucking shit. But in this episode, Hugh is like, at one point they go stop to get gas, and then Hugh gets in the car, and Steve tries to tell him like to fuck off, stop talking about the stuff, and Hugh just finally is like, no, you're gonna fucking listen to me. This is what's happening. This is what this house is about. You don't understand. I'm gonna explain to you what is wrong with this house.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up if you didn't. I love that turning point at the gas station, because Hugh is finally putting his foot down, because he's being so reserved with all of them and just like quiet and letting them walk all over him kind of thing. Because he knows that like he kind of did them wrong. He left them with their Aunt Janet, didn't really explain anything to them, but he was trying to protect them, and he needs them to realize that. But they can't realize that unless he fucking grows a backbone and starts forcing them to fucking listen to what he has to say.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really enjoy that turning point with Hugh.
I also love the, they're kind of telling stories about Nell and stuff like that, but I love the scene back in the Hell House whenever the chandelier falls and they're all like getting the flashlights and stuff, and then Nell goes missing. And then at one point Steve is there and he's like, says like, I'll protect all of you and stuff. And, you know, he doesn't really live up to what he promised them back then. Right. And they're all like sitting around and Hugh is talking about how Nell asked, would send letters like once a month to him. And when she was younger, she would always ask Sansa for the stuff that her siblings asked for. And he was like, I had to buy all that shit that you guys asked for because I couldn't let Nell down, right?
Yeah, he said she never asked for anything for herself in these letters. She always wanted you guys to get what you asked for.
There is a bit of like the old Steve in this episode that kind of pissed me off because like he confronts Hugh because Hugh says, oh, she wrote me letters like once a month, like even when she was older. And Steve is like, she wrote you letters, eh, once a month? And he's like, yeah. And Steve says, did she ever seem like something's wrong with her and like all this? And he was like, no, she just always asked about you guys. And Steve like rips into him saying like, you should have been there for her. But like, and then after this, they all find out that none of them answered her call that day, right? So it kind of pissed me off that Steve was like blaming the dad, but he is equally at fault.
Yeah. And like Shirley too. Shirley was like, I don't know why she didn't think she could talk to me. I don't know why she didn't reach out to me and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, she fucking called you.
Yeah.
And you ignored the call.
And Hugh even told Steve, hey, something wrong with Nell. Go to her house right now. And he doesn't go.
Well, Steve mentions too, he's like, oh, did she tell you in her letters that she crashed one of my book signings and stuff like that? And he's like, that's not her. Like, there's obviously something wrong with her.
Yeah.
Well, if you thought that there's something wrong with her, why didn't you get her help when you were with her in person?
Yeah. And then at this point, also, Theo lets slip something. She lets tell Shirley that she took the money from Steve. And Shirley is pissed, obviously, because she's been living at Shirley's rent-free and stuff like this. So Shirley's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, and then Theo is basically like, I'm a fucking doctor. Like, I didn't need to live here. I did it because you needed it, right? And then you find out that her husband, Kevin, took the money too.
Yeah.
I love that scene when he's like, well, we did take the money. Well, I mean, not you, but I took the money and like the account that you have, you know.
Yeah.
And she's pissed and he's like, you know, you're fucking selling stuff at cost and we just opened the business and like we needed the money, right? So like,
yeah, you're doing all these funerals like pro bono, like,
yeah,
we're not getting enough money for the shit that we should be getting.
So then some creepy stuff happens. The power goes out and there is these like buttons on Nell's eyes now. We see in the flashback, we see the old lady ghost on the bed. There's like a wheelchair ghost I think Liv sees, and Liv is just starting to act very strange in these later episodes. And then at the end, Luke says that she didn't kill herself, that the house killed her. And this is whenever Luke ends up leaving because he's going to the house to try and burn it down. And we also see Hugh throughout this episode. He talks to himself a lot. And I believe he's talking to Liv, right?
Yeah, because at first we don't see her, but then as the episodes progress, we start seeing her beside him, behind him, in the mirrors and stuff like that. So like everybody's seeing their ghosts, but he's seeing her, like she's his ghost. But she's like back in her form where she looks really good, like she looks like she did at the start of the show.
And Steve tells Hugh that the wrong parent died, and he
Yeah,
walks out, and that was And then Nell's
that's her.
casket falls over,
Yeah.
and they're kind of like, okay, let's pick her up and stuff like that. So yeah, and the power comes back on as well.
And Shirley finds Theo and Kevin not kissing, but in some sort of a weird embrace in a closet.
For some reason.
But yeah, we find out later on what happened there. But so yeah, I like Shirley in this second half of the show has kind of taken Steve's place. Like I hate her. Like the I don't know, the actor was amazing, the character development was amazing, but I hate her character in the second half of the show. She's just so unlikable.
Agreed.
But she's supposed to be. It's a good thing, but I
Yeah.
just,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, anything else from that episode?
Yeah, dude. The ending of this episode had me almost fucking burying my face in a pillow crying. So it's a flashback to young Nell. Whenever the power goes out, they lose her, but then they find her again in like their little front foyer area. And she's crying and she says, "I was right here. I didn't go anywhere. I was right here. I was right here the whole time. None of you could see me. Nobody could see me." And I was just like, "Oh my fucking God." That little girl who is just like, oh, she pulls on my heartstrings throughout the whole show. And then just having her crying, saying those lines, and then like knowing that those words transition into Nell as an adult, where she's like, she's trying to call for help, she's trying to get her family to help her, and nobody's listening to her. And she's right there in front of them this whole time, but nobody's listening. Nobody can see her. I was just like, fuck me, dude. Like, what an amazing follow-up episode to the best episode of the show in episode five. It's just so good.
Agreed.
Anyways, yeah, that's all I had to add.
All right. So episode seven is called Eulogy. So we get a flashback of Hugh being questioned. He is obviously covered in blood. The cop is being really nice to him. The cops start talking to the Dudleys as well. His wife Liv is with the medical examiner, and the cop is saying, oh, and the other body as well. And the cop is saying it looks really bad, like I think one of the kids I think says that she had like blunt force trauma to the head, like pushed against the wall, bruises on her arms, stuff like that. So they think that the dad killed the mom, or maybe not killed her, but had something to do with it. So it's the day after the storm, whenever they're younger. There is leaks in the walls, in the basement. Just the whole house is just pretty much destroyed. And they can't find where the source of water is. They think it might be in the red room because that is the only room that they can't get into. But what do you think this storm is like? What do you think was the house's goal to keep them there longer? Because they wanted to be out in a couple months, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. So now with all this damage, they're kind of forced to be there a little bit longer. And it kind of forces them to look a little deeper into the house too, like, 'cause he's tearing down walls and stuff like that. He's seeing things in behind the walls, but it also gives them the opportunity to find William Hill. Because that's a cold case. He's been missing for however many fucking years, 40 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's something to do with that. So that it gives them the
because
opportunity to find him.
The Dudleys live like, I don't know, 20-minute walk away or something like that. And they didn't get hit by this massive storm. It's just their house.
Yeah. And it was only one side of the house too, which is weird.
Right. Yeah.
Because Hugh says to Mr. Dudley at one point, he's like, it just seems like it only hit the one side of the house.
Yeah. And there's like mold already in the house. And they get down to the basement and he can't understand like why, like how this has happened. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But there's black mold already. They hear like scratching. They think Horace thinks maybe it's like rats. So, yeah.
I think the mold's always been there, but the house was just hiding it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is because at the, like in the very last episode, we see like all this black shit kind of coming off onto the walls and stuff like that. So I think it's always been there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to now time, I love the scene with Hugh and Theo. When Hugh got to the, was it here? Oh, because the funeral is now. Yeah. He got to the funeral early and he's like, sorry, I got here early. Didn't want people in yet. Like, can I come in? And she invites him in for coffee or tea or whatever. And then she kind of opens up to him and she says, like, basically, I'm sorry for the way I treated you and stuff like that. She says, like, some, like, you don't realize what mistakes are until you make mistakes of your own or something along those lines.
Yeah, because this is the episode, like, they haven't, Luke hasn't left yet. He hasn't stole the keys yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
I was thinking it happened in the first episode too, but yeah, that none of that stuff's happened yet. So they're all still at the funeral home. But this is the episode directly after Shirley catches Theo and Kevin. So that's Theo's big fuck up. And she knows what she did was wrong, even though it wasn't her that did it. Like, she couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But yeah, so her going through that experience kind of opened her eyes a little bit more to what Hugh's kind of going through.
Yeah, because Hugh says, like, oh, this has nothing to do with the book, does it? And she's like, no. And then she's like, I got a shower. And he's like, okay, I'll leave. And she's like, no, like, stay, sit down, enjoy your coffee. And he kind of like has this like smile on his face, like, wow, you know, this is what that feels like, right? To be loved by your daughter, right? To be accepted. Yeah, so they find out that it wasn't rats that was in the house. Like you said before, they find the body there. What else happened? Oh yeah, I love because Theo's hookup girl, I forget her name.
Trish,
yeah. She shows up to the funeral and like Theo's like kind of rude to her as well. It's like she's so blunt sometimes. But I think he was talking to, I forget who, but he's like, oh yeah, like your mom knew that she was, you know, gay whenever she was 8 years old. And like one of the kids is like, oh, okay, yeah. Aunt Janet shows up. Is she Liv's sister?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, because she's the sister that Liv was going to go stay with whenever she was going to take a little break from the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Hugh and Steve are working on the basement back in the flashback. And then Luke starts speaking. I loved his little speech that he gave about Nell, about how he was born 90 seconds before Nell, but she was always my big sister. Like, oh man, that was a good one.
Yeah.
They're looking for the Red Room key back in the flashback. Liv is really starting to kind of go crazy, and I think at this point she, because they need to find the water source, but all like the blueprints are like wrong or different. So she says, okay, well, I'll make new blueprints by like combining them. But then Horace and Hugh are looking at the blueprints, and he realizes that she like took the blueprints from their dream house and put it in these blueprints.
Yeah, so she did, like, she made the whole blueprint of Hill House, but then she drew like small versions. It almost looked like a puzzle of their dream house, and these smaller versions are just like kind of puzzle pieced all throughout. Because at first you don't see it, and he was just like, or Horace is like, "What the fuck is this? Like, did the missus draw this?" And he was like, "Yeah, like I don't know what's going on here."
Was it this episode whenever Horace tells him about his
No, but his kids.
No, not the kid. I think it was, wasn't it? Whenever his horse says like,
Oh, maybe it's
I
not my
don't,
place.
yeah, not my place.
I think it was
And he
this episode,
says,
yeah.
Liv, I think Liv needs time away from the house. And then he was like, yeah, I think you're right. I think it isn't your place. And then it's like, oh shit, like that
I was not expecting
no,
it.
me either. I don't think Horace was either, right?
Yeah, because he was usually so like somber, and he's just, yeah.
But then he goes on like this big long story about how his like mom was kind of crazy and she ended up living in the woods for a bit, and he ends up cutting his hand in the fan that they rent. Pretty fucking big gash, honestly. Like, what the fuck are you putting your hand in there for? Jesus.
Well, it was supposed to be unplugged.
That's true. And then Hughes like kind of loses his mind and he just tries to go and break down the red door, but can't.
Yeah, he's got a pry bar and everything, and just nothing's getting through that door.
The scene with Nell being buried, they're all like throwing the dirt on, and then Luke is there by himself, and he and fucking Liv shows up in the gravesite and she tries pulling him in. Like, that was fucking crazy.
And like we kind of see an asshole version of Steve again, but also like not so much an asshole. He's just kind of trying to smack some sense into Luke, where he's just like I know you thought you saw something, but you didn't see anything. Like your mind's just playing tricks on you. Like his family's fucked up. Like everybody thinks that they're seeing shit, but like nobody's seeing anything. He's like, you just need to snap out of it. You need to like get yourself grounded, kind of thing, and just move on. Like let's go. So like he was kind of being a dick, but also at the same time just kind of trying to keep Luke like here, like we're right in front of you kind of thing.
At one point, Q wakes up, younger Hugh wakes up, and Liv is on top of him with a fucking screwdriver to his throat. That's fucking crazy.
He's like, what the fuck are you doing?
I had a bad dream, you think? I love the scene. I think Hugh and Steve are driving, and at one point, Steve says like, "Oh, you know, big boys know the difference between imaginary and real." Because like I think Hugh said that to him as a kid, I think. And then we see the body and the brick wall. And then Shirley's credit card is missing, and so is Theo's car. Luke stole it. And then we see inside the funeral home, there's like dirt and footprints inside that are like walking through, and Theo and Hugh are following it. And then Theo is in like her office where like the little houses that Shirley built, and she sees Liv like crawling towards her like fucking ghost, and Hugh's right behind her, and they see Liv, and then they don't tell anyone that they saw her, right?
She was all fucked up too. It was after her fall, so like her face is all mangled up, and she's just it's so creepy the way she comes crawling out from behind the desk.
And then the last scene we see on the night that they left, Hugh was in the red room, on that night, and the door was open. And then that's how the episode ends. Anything else from that episode that missed?
Think so. This one was kind of a little more non-eventful. Uneventful.
A lot of flashbacks. So episode 8 is called The Witness Marks. So this is kind of where we learn about Steve and Lee. I love the scene of them in the doctor's office. Whatever he sees, just fucking Liv, just like getting closer and closer. She puts like her hand up, and he's just like, "What the
I feel
fuck?"
like that's her way of like, or his way of expressing his guilt, maybe. Because like they had this big family. There was seven of them in the family. And now like he's seeing Liv while he's fucking lying straight to his wife's face and the doctor's face. So.
So Steve and like Hugh, when they're younger, when the younger cells, they're trying to work on this basement, and Steve is like really trying to help like Hugh, like he wants to be involved and help him. But I think after the fan incident, Hugh is like, "Yeah, no, I'm good, buddy." And Steve just keeps insisting, like, "I want something to do." And so then Hugh is like, "Okay, I got a job for you. Like, your mom's going away. I need you to watch your siblings for me." And he's like, "Yeah, okay, you know." We see Shirley cleaning up the house. She's like picking up the house, and I don't know if this was like what it was, but she like picks up a piece and it looks like black kinda. And she's like, "What the fuck? Was there black mold on the house? Like the miniature house?"
Maybe. I don't know if I caught on to that.
Yeah, because she picks up a little piece and like it's like kind of like black looking. And then she kind of like is like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that'd be a cool little I don't know, scene.
So it's actually Halloween night, and she's there by herself because she, you know, kicked Kevin out for the night, and Theo's in her house, and the doorbell keeps going off. There's no one there, and you know she's getting pissed off. Then a few minutes later, or she like opens the door, no one there, closes it, like walks like 2 steps, the doorbell rings again. She goes outside, no one there, and then keep knocking and banging. She goes out and she starts fucking yelling, and then like Theo's like there. She's like, "Oh, I'm just coming to apologize." And Shirley's like all pissed off, and like these fucking kids, and they're both inside now, and there's like banging on windows and all around the fucking funeral home. And
Yeah. It was a very effectively creepy scene.
it
Especially
was.
once Theo gets in there with her. It's just like, God damn, like this ghost is just unrelenting.
Younger Steve is fixing up a makeup vanity kind of table for Liv. Wants to do it as kind of like a gift.
Yeah, he finds it in the game room.
The game room. I love the interaction between Theo and Shirley whenever like they start fighting, and then Shirley fucking just punches in the boob, and it feels like they like stop, and she's like, "Did you just punch me in the boob?" And Shirley's like shocked. She's like, "Yeah, that's what you get for kissing my husband," or something like that. And then Shirley's phone rings, and they find out that they used the car to the gas station, and it's at some town that's on the way to Hill House.
Amherst.
Yes. So Steve and Hugh are on their way, and then obviously Theo and Shirley are going to go as well.
But
Theo's
Hugh
have.
tells them not to, like insists that they stay away. which is a little bit of foreshadowing for later.
We see a flashback again of Hugh, or not Hugh, Steve showing Liv the makeup table, and then she just out of fucking nowhere just punches a fucking mirror and breaks it. Which you find out later why, because she is looking at it, and then she sees older Luke and older Nell behind her in the mirror.
Dead.
Are they dead?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they're ghosts.
Right. So they find out that Luke filled 5 gas cans with gasoline, and he was like, well, he's going to burn the house down. We have to stop him, or else he's dead, because the house won't let him do that, right?
Yeah, because I think Steve says, fucking let him.
Yeah.
Like, let's burn it down and we'll stand over top of it. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
And but then this is, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is where Steve, how we mentioned before, really kind of, or not Steve, Hugh, takes his turn, and he's just like, no, you're going to fucking listen to me.
Yeah. Because he's like, they're like driving, and then he was like, yeah, you know, you did see a ghost, like in your books and stuff. You say that you never saw a ghost, and he was like, "You did see a ghost." Steve's like, "No, I never did." And he was like, "Whatever, chapter 19." And then, Steve is like, "Oh yeah, like we're fixing up. We had a bunch of people in the house fixing up, and I saw the, I don't know, the clockmaker or whatever fixing the clock with the handlebar mustache." And he was like, yeah, that was a ghost. I didn't hire someone to fix the clock, because this is a very specific clock where only like 2 people in the world know how to fix it. And yeah, he's just like, and then you see the ghost later on in the last episode, I think, right?
Yeah, this is where the episode gets its title for the witness marks. Because Hugh explains to him, like, these older clocks, there was no like manuals or blueprints on how to fix them. So these people were highly trained to look at the witness marks and see different like little cuts and indentations on how they fixed it prior, or like what they did to it prior. And that's how they were able to fix these clocks. And he said, like how you mentioned, there's like a very select few people in the world that are skilled enough to do this. And he's like, and I sure as shit didn't fucking hire this guy. And even if I did, it wouldn't be a guy in overalls and a handlebar mustache.
I
love that interaction, because he's just like putting him in his place. He's like, I know you fucking saw a ghost, because this was one.
Yeah. And then he keeps going on and says, oh, and the treehouse. He's like, yeah, there was no treehouse. And Steve is like, no, we talked about that was Luke's treehouse that you built him. We played in there all the time. He was like, no, there's no treehouse. We were only there for like 2 months. How would I have time to build a whole treehouse? He's like, when we get to the house, I'll show you. There's no treehouse.
Yeah. I love getting these like little tidbits of information, because you're just like, oh shit, like this house is diabolical.
Just
fucking with them.
So now Theo and Shirley are driving together on the way. Excuse me. Theo was telling Shirley about what they saw in Shirley's funeral home, and she doesn't believe her, obviously, because Shirley's now the one that's kind of like taken over Steve's role in the first half, is like, oh, I don't believe in ghosts, you know, stuff like that. But she keeps seeing this, I don't know if it's a ghost, I don't know if he's dead or not, but Nathan Scott from One Tree Hill, right? I don't find out his name in the show, I don't think, right?
I don't think so, yeah.
But she keeps seeing him, and like he'll like be sitting down and raising a whiskey glass to her, and you know, you don't know what it's about. And Theo tells Shirley that she touched Nell's body the night before, in the funeral home or whatever. And they get in a big argument, and then probably one of the best jump scares in any movie or TV show.
Dude, it's just like, wow.
Out of nowhere. Like, they're just arguing, and like the camera's going back and forth between like each side of the car. And they're just like driving, like arguing. And then all of a sudden, fucking Nell shoots up in the front between the seats and just like screams her head off. It's like, holy fuck.
Yeah, it's good.
And then like they kind of like crash the car a bit. And then Thea was like, gets out of the car and she just like goes off on this fucking huge fucking tirade. She's like bawling her eyes out, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, 'cause she calls Shirley out on all her shit. She's like, "Do you believe it now? Like, you saw that. I know you fucking saw that." And she said, like, "You know why I can't touch people? Like, you know that I see shit whenever I touch people." And like, she's going on and on and on about that. And then she explains what happens between her and Kevin and how she, whenever the lights went out, she just went into like complete nothingness. Like, she couldn't feel anything. She was completely numb to everything. She said she felt like she was just like floating in an ocean. So she was trying to grasp anything that she could feel. And she's like, "And I feel bad for what happened," she said, "but I don't regret what happened because it finally allowed me to feel something again." She said, "I feel shame, I feel guilt, but it's better than feeling nothing." And I just like, I loved that whole monologue from Theo. So good. Man, fucking Kate Siegel is such a good actress, and she came out of nowhere, man.
Yeah, she did. She's good. So we see Luke, he's at the house. He has all the gas cans, puts the gas on the floor, lights the lighter, throws it on, and just like blue flame, and then it's gone. And then you see Liv on top of the stairs in that fucking red dress, and it's such a good ending. And then Poppy's behind him and kind of grabs his head, and that's it.
I like that the house let him do all this too, because every other person that we see going into the house, like as soon as they open those doors, they see something as soon as they walk into the house. But Luke doesn't. So the house just lets him pour all this gasoline, thinking that he's finally won and everything. And then it's just like, ha ha, you don't win shit.
Exactly. But yeah, so that's episode 8. Episode 9 is called Screaming Memes. Interesting title. So we see a lot of this episode in the next episode that Liv is officially losing it. You see flashbacks to like the first part of the series, like I think it's in this episode where she's like in the twins room, and once she's like standing there and Luke or Steve is trying to talk to her, she's not like she's just talking to herself. But in this episode, you see what she saw. Was this episode that? Yeah, it was. Yeah. She is talking to them as kids. And Nell, young Nell, like, fucking amazing job in this episode. Holy shit. She goes on a bit like, I had a dream that you killed us. And, that we were in the dark, and then like and then Luke is like, yeah, and then I'm in the dark, and when I'm older I poison myself with this stuff in my arms and we die and stuff like this, and like it's like holy fuck, that's dark as hell, man.
I hope these kids had like therapy afterwards.
They're like basically we're gonna die one day, and
You're
they're
gonna leave
like,
us in the dark.
yeah, you're not gonna let that happen, right, mommy? And she's like, no. So from here on out, like, Liv wants to not let them get in the dark, right? And bring them with her. So she wants to poison them. And so kind of jumping around to this episode, but she basically makes tea. Well, first Hugh sends her off to Aunt Janet's, and she calls him and he's like, okay, you're at Aunt Janet's, you know, how's everything going? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, good. And then like hands up the phone and you see she's in a hotel room. But then she later goes home in the middle of the night and she is making tea with rat poison in it. and she's gonna poison the Nell and Luke, obviously. And was it Shirley that came in? Shirley comes in to get food, and she kind of surprised to see her mom there, and she doesn't notice like the rat poison, but Liv leaves with like the tray of teacups and tea, and Shirley goes to Hugh and was like, "Sorry, Dad, to wake you up, but like, Mom's in the kitchen." He was like, "What do you mean? I thought she's at Aunt Janet's." And she's like, "No, she's in the kitchen acting really strange." So like, Hugh goes in there and turns the light on and sees the rat poison. So he's like, "What the fuck?" So he goes upstairs and sees that they're in the red room, and Liv has like this table set up. Oh yeah, and also Abigail was staying over. And you think that Abigail is like a ghost that Luke sees, right? But it turns out it's a real kid, and you find out in episode 10 that it's actually Horace and Mrs. Dudley, I forget the wife's name, is kid. And so she invites her as well, and she's making tea and they're sitting there, and like Liv's like, "You guys are all just so beautiful," and just she's so good, man. And then like they all get the tea, they're put the drink in, and then like Liv is like, "No, you gotta wait for mine too." And then Hugh comes in and throws herself on the table, but then Abigail drank the tea and she starts fucking puking and she ends up
Foaming at the
dying.
mouth.
Yeah, she ends up dying. So yeah.
He smashes her head up against the wall at this point too. Like he pushes her
Yeah.
and her head cranks off the wall, which is something that Steve goes off on him about earlier on in I think it was like episode seven, six or seven. Goes off on him about that. He's like, you pushed her, smashed her head up against the wall, and then she fell off, like fell down the stairs or whatever, smashed her face all up. He's like, and you just don't give a shit about any of it. And like Steve's blaming him for all of this and like essentially calling him abusive, for not finding her the help whenever she needed it. But Steve doesn't know that all of this happened because Hugh has kept them all in the dark just to protect them. Like Steve is like, I don't know, it's super kind of like honorable how he treated the whole situation. Like he didn't want the kids to remember their mother as this person who's kind of just slipped into insanity. He wanted them to remember her how she was before, so he didn't taint her name or their memories of her at all.
So with Liv, because before she goes into the twins' room, as I mentioned before, she ends up seeing older Nell and Luke, like younger Liv, right? So like, can she see into the future, or is it like the house that's like projecting them into her mind?
I feel like it's the house that's like showing them multiple timelines, like where the timeline is all like skewed. Because now, with the bent neck lady, we find out in episode five that she's the bent neck lady that young Nell sees throughout the show. So I think the house somehow is able to show them their future.
Yeah, because we see that Poppy Hill is like the baddie in the show, really. She's the one that's controlling Liv. Like there's like tons of ghosts in this house, but Poppy is the kind of evil one that is telling Liv to do all this stuff and is telling her to keep them like the screaming Mimi. I forget what exactly that meant, but she tells Liv that like she needs to keep them like they are, that they need to wake them up, right? And then the lady, the old lady in the bed, like basically tells Liv like, "Oh, don't listen to her." And like Liv is like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Don't listen to her. She's fucking terrible.
But yeah, it's already too late at that point. But yeah, I think she's the only ghost that really does anything harmful, right?
Yeah.
Like we see the bowler hat guy, which.
But I wonder if the bowler hat guy would do something
I
because
think he just cared about his hat, man.
no, but in the last episode, whenever Hugh and Steve are there and he walks up behind Steve and they're like just standing there and he was like, "Don't move." He's like, "Look at me." And he's looking at him, you see the bowler hat guy just like come out to his face, just staring at him for like a few minutes. Like, I wonder if like if Steve looked, like what would happen?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he was just protecting him, like to like not be scared kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I think the bowler hat guy is William Hill.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. He just kind of fits that kind of timeline, like with his the way
Yeah.
that he's dressed and stuff.
Yeah, so Hugh pushes her into the wall, and then he grabs the kids, leave, and we see them in the car leaving. And then that's when he goes into Steve's room, getting Steve out, and we see them running away. And like Liv, she got fucked up from that, right? She's like falling over the place, and then we see when they leave, Liv is on top of like the railing, the stairs there, spiral stairs, and Poppy basically tells her like, Liv says something like, "Oh, I want to wake up," or something like that, and so Poppy says, "You know, in order to wake up and be with your kids, you know, you gotta basically do this," and then she falls off the top of the stairs and dies.
Yeah, 'cause she mentions the darkness too, right? And I mean, in a sense, like it's fucked up, but like people who are suicidal and shit, right? Like that's like they see darkness. It's just all darkness. So
So do you
that's
think Poppy has killed or got all these ghosts to kill themselves? Or they've at least died in the house, right? Because we know that if you die in this house, then you are in this house forever as a ghost, right?
Yeah, because that's a lot of fucking people. And the house has only been there for 100 years. Like, there's a lot of ghosts in that house.
There is, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know who they all are, but yeah, I would say she's the ringleader in all of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we find out that her and William met each other in an asylum, I think is what they said. So, like, they were both crazy. Whenever they were younger, they met each other there. Oh, it was a children's school for kids that had mental illness. And they met there, and then they got married. So, I mean, she had a history of this prior to dying, right?
All right, so the final episode, episode 10 is called Silence Lay Steadily. So we learn about the Red Room more in this episode. We learn that the Red Room is the stomach, as one of the kids say, Nell says, I think, that digested them, which is fucking fucked up. But the Red Room projected everything that they kind of wanted, right? We learned that the Red Room was Shirley's dancing room. It was Nell's toy room. It was Liv's reading room. It was Steve's game room. It was the treehouse. It was Theo's what was like a Zen room or just like a kind of cozy whatever room. So the room, this is the room where kind of shit happens.
And you can't go into it unless the house wants you to go into it.
It lets you in when it wants it to. That's why they can never get into that room. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I found an article of, well, it's a BuzzFeed article, but it's like stuff you may have missed from the show. Every iteration of the Red Room that we see, like the treehouse, the game room, the toy room, the window lines up in every single room.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really cool whenever you see it all like together in one image.
That's cool.
And there's also like a lot of foreshadowing with the Red Room. Like there's one point where Liv asks if anyone has seen Luke, and Steve says, "I assume you tried the treehouse." And Liv chuckled and said, "Very funny." And then there's a toy room where Mrs. Dudley asks young Nell where she found something, and she said in the toy room, and Mrs. Dudley's just like, "Huh? Like where?"
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of foreshadowing with the Red Room that you don't pick up on until you know about the Red Room.
Interesting. You find out, actually, I don't know if this is, now that I think of it, if this is actually true, but there's a scene of Steve writing a book with Lee, and he's writing a follow-up to Hill House, and he's kind of talking about, writing about what's happening now, like as adults, like what happened when they went back to it when Luke was there. And Lee is there and she's pregnant. And like, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, they're back together. This is like in the future, right? But then they're sitting there and like fucking this Leah's body like starts getting black and she starts like saying this grotesque shit and she runs through a ghost. So it's like, is Steve actually writing a follow-up to the book? Do you think?
I think maybe that's his future.
Right.
But like, I don't think he actually is. Like, I think the house is just fucking with him because we keep getting the flashbacks back and then it kind of moves back into the present time and we see at one point Steve falls into the room, into the Red Room.
Yeah.
And then Luke's already in there because Poppy threw him in there.
Yeah.
So I think like every time they get into the Red Room, it just fucks with them.
Yeah.
So I don't think any of that Steve saw was real.
I think it's just the room. In the Red Room. Yeah. Yeah. I love whenever they first get into the house and like Steve is like, holy shit, like what the fuck? And he was like, okay, we're doing it here, there, here, here, here. And he goes in and like Steve immediately sees like the tall hot man, right? And he's just like, what the fuck? Like I've never seen like a real ghost right before.
That he knows of.
That he knows of, yeah. So he follows Hugh around and then like we see like behind him the tall man just fucking with his fucking floating and his cane and comes up behind them and like just like looks down at Steve like, oh man, so creepy.
I loved that visual so much. Just
yeah.
The actor who plays the ghost, just the way that he like stares at him. It's like,
yeah.
oh, it's so creepy. Like he doesn't do anything. It's just super creepy.
And then we see Abigail as well, in front of Hugh sitting on the stairs.
Yeah.
And obviously Hugh knows who that is. But yeah. So they say that Luke died, but I don't. Do you think Luke actually did die?
I think he did.
You think so?
Yeah.
Like, because we see at the end, they get Luke, Theo, and Shirley leave, right?
I don't think he like died and stayed dead.
Oh, okay.
I think he died and then they brought him back to life because they find him in the Red Room and he's got a needle in his arm and he's like puking up fucking blood and foam and shit. But then they finally get him up. And Nell's in the room with them and he points to Nell and he says, "She saved my life." So I think she was able to, like, you know how they say, like, they turned you away at the gates of heaven. So like your spirit kind of comes back to your body. I think it was supposed to be like an iteration of that.
Yeah. Right. Right. So we get a flashback of, well, we get not a flashback, but a dream of Luke's. That Luke is having in the Red Room. He is dreaming about being in the Hotel Joey Because he's like on the side of the street, you know, asking to come back. And then Joey comes up and she's like all like glowing and happy and brings him to this like super nice hotel. And he's like, what's going on? Like, you abandoned me, you took my money. And she's like, no, like I took the money. I came here and got us a nice hotel and like sit on the bed. And then she's like, oh yeah. What'd she say? Like, oh, I still see the runny egg eyes and fucking her eyes like fucking melt. And then he like wakes up and he's like in the red room. Yeah, that was
It's fucked
it's
up.
wild. It was, yeah. We see whatever Hugh grabs like the door handle, we see that like black fucking mold like go on to him. But I think it was just Poppy, I think, fucking with him, I think. Do we find out? I think Theo knew about Shirley's affair, right?
Did she?
Oh no, never mind. Sorry, that's just the way I typed up. Theo gets caught into the red room, so is Shirley is in there, and we see Shirley's like red room dream is her remembering. Whenever she cheated on Kevin, she was at a convention or whatever. They had just had their second kid, I think. And we see Nathan Scott. I was going to keep saying Nathan Scott because, you know, this guy at the bar, and he sends her a drink. And she like puts up her ring and he's like, oh, okay. And then she kind of is like playing with him and she asked the bartender, like, excuse me. What's your least ordered or weirdest thing that people get during happy hour? So he brings him these boneless jerk wings, and he like comes over to her. He's like, they have like a conversation about consent and stuff like that, and she's like, yeah, like I'm in a marriage, like I haven't flirted with anyone in whatever however long, like I'm not good at it. Just trying to be funny, and they're sitting there and like. He puts her hand on her hand because he asks at the end of the night, and he asks to go back to his room for a nightcap. And then she sees the rain, and then she's like, no, like I, you know, really, I need to get to bed. But then they find out that, like, oh no, she actually did go back with him because she saw the rain and, you know, was like, oh, he has as much to lose as I do, you know, she's going through stuff at home, so she did cheat on Kevin with him. And I love like the scene where she's like sees herself in like the casket, and the funeral director from when she was younger is like explaining like, oh, I plugged all her holes so her fluids wouldn't come out, and like it's so graphic.
Yeah, gross way that he's explaining it.
Yeah. And then she sees herself in there and fucking like pulls her eyes out, like scratches her face. It's pretty wild. What else? We see Luke with Liv and Nell. They're all wearing like the fucking the hat that the ghost wears. Nell ends up saving Luke. Older Nell pulls because Luke's about to die, right? He's about to go out of the dark, but then older Nell pulls him out of there. And saves him basically. And then Nell's in the room with all of them at this point. And she kind of explains that what Jerry talked about, like they've all been in this room before but didn't know. And they're like, no, it's been locked. We couldn't get in. She explains, you know, it's different rooms that they envisioned, right? We see Poppy is like kind of fucking with Hugh. And then Liv kind of shows up and saves him and tells Poppy, like, get the fuck out of here, like, leave him alone. And Poppy's like, oh, it's so lonely here, you know. Yeah.
How's it lonely? You have fucking 35 other ghosts in there with you.
Yeah, exactly. So Theo and Shirley are taking Luke, and Hugh says to them, like, oh, maybe see if I have to take care of one more thing. So like okay, they get him out of there, and then They get a flashback of young Hugh going back for Liv, and we see what happens. She is dead on the floor. And Horace comes in, or both the Dudleys are there, and they see her dead there. And then they find Abigail's body, was their daughter, their second daughter, because their first daughter died very young as a baby. And they kind of make an agreement that, no, because they want, they know that the ghosts stay in the house because they see Abigail's ghost, and the mother doesn't want to leave because the ghost is here, and Hugh wants to burn the house down, obviously, right? But then Horace says, like, okay, we'll take her body and we'll bury it in the garden she loved by our house, and she'll be free with us, right? And he says, like, if you let me do that, then I won't tell you what happened tonight, right? I'll be on your side, right? So then, they leave. Oh yeah, go ahead.
And Mrs. Dudley says, like, abandon the house if you want, but leave it standing so I can keep coming back here to see her.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the only way she's going to see Abigail now.
Yeah. Yeah. So then if flash forward to older Hugh and Steve, Steve or Hugh makes a deal with Poppy. Was it Poppy or Liv? One of them. That if he stays, that they'll leave the kids alone. And so Hugh stays back and Steve leaves, and kind of, it was kind of sad because, like, we see flashbacks of Steve and Hugh as younger, and Steve, like, loves his dad. You can see that, like, looks up to him, wants to help him out. And then they don't talk for however long. Like, Steve is the fucking asshole to him. And now, finally, as Hugh is going to be out of his life forever, Steve is, like, kind of accepting his dad, right? Yeah, it's kind of sad.
And again, it's just one more way that Hugh is protecting the kids.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of sheltering them from,
yeah,
from what's actually there.
Yeah. And then we see Shirley with Kevin. She is about to tell him what happened, and she says, you know, like, I need to tell you something. I'm gonna be in my lowest lows. I need you there for me. I know we'll get through this. And, like, we see, like, them hold hands, and she's, like, telling him what happened at the conference. And then we see Theo is with Trish, cleaning up, moving out, and she has, like, a garbage can, and I forget what Trish throws in there, but then Theo's, like, throws her gloves in the trash can too, and, you know, they live happily ever after, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the final scene, we see the Dudleys, way older Dudleys, come into the house. And Horace gets his wife in there right at the last second. And she passes away, and we see her standing there with
Abigail,
the little baby, and the Abigail.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'm, like, kind of confused about is, like, how is younger Mrs. Dudley ghost? Like, she died older. So, like, how is it the younger one?
Maybe it's the way that he's seeing her, because, like, the ghosts make you see them how they want you to see them.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, even with Liv, right? When she died, she did not look good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she looked like she like, she went through a huge mental break, right? But whenever Hugh sees her, she's in the like the way that we saw her at the very beginning.
Yeah. And then that's the way the show ends.
Well, there's one little scene.
Is there?
We
Moment.
see Luke celebrating 2 years sobriety,
Right. Yeah.
and Lee and Steve are back together.
Yeah.
Lee is pregnant somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I missed something there or if she just went ahead with the IVF
Yeah.
without Steve. Shirley and Kevin are still together, and we see Trish and Theo with wedding rings on.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, so it's like a big happy ending for all of them. And like the room that they're in is very bright.
Yeah.
Like there's no more darkness in their lives, thanks to Hugh. So it's kind of a quick ending in terms of them, like the kids. But I love the ending with Hugh whenever he dies, and then with the Dudleys too. I just thought that was really good. Yeah.
Cool. All righty. Well, that's it. That's the way the blood splatters, I guess.
Almost how the tears drop, man. I suppose started singing Bullet for My Valentine. Oof.
Nice.
I saved you from that.
Yeah.
All right, I think I know how you're gonna rate this show, but
Yeah.
maybe I do, maybe I don't. But let's hear it.
Am I just doing quality and like regular or what?
I just did a just one review.
Okay. I mean,
I didn't break it up,
it's,
but you can
yeah.
do it however you
Yeah.
want.
I mean, this is a 10 out of 10 show. Probably one of, if not the best, limited series shows out there. Like, it just everything about this show, like, it does have, like, not every episode is fucking 5 out of 5, but I think just overall, for what it does, the story, the acting, the cinematography, the fucking sound. Everything about this show, it's scary at some points. There's a lot of characters, like there's fucking 5 kids, and like you still get everything you want out of all the characters. Yeah, just a fantastic show.
Nice.
What about you?
I also gave it a 10 out of 10. I basically have zero issues with this show. Every episode is great. Not perfect, but every episode's great. I know, like, it's only one season, but I can honestly say this is like a top five show for me. And like arguably one of the, like, I know it's only one season, but it's arguably one of the best series from start to finish. Like, there was no misses with any of these episodes. I love, like, you touched on the characters. Like, there's seven main characters that we see throughout this show, and every one of them has a backstory. You don't feel cheated out of any of them. Like, somehow in a 10 episode series, we're able to get these amazing and epic backstories for all seven of these characters. And then even the side characters with the Dudleys and like the Hills, like, it's crazy how they were able to pack so much information into these episodes, and not have it be like super confusing. Yeah, I said every character is interesting in their own respects. Whether you love them or hate them, there's no denying that each character was well thought out and written with a meaning. The show itself is like effectively creepy when it needs to be, but it's also like just such a beautiful story, I think. Just the way that this family has dealt with their trauma and how they all kind of come around in the end. I think Flanagan was a genius with this show.
Agreed.
And I know, like, he got the idea from Shirley Jackson, so I'm very excited to read the book and see how it lines up. So, all right, you guys know our scores. We'll head over to Rotten Tomatoes now and also IMDb, because I wanted to kind of follow up with the IMDb scores. So episode 6 was a 9.3 out of 10, which is the second highest rating for the series. Episode 7 was an 8.2. Episode 8 was an 8.8. Episode 9 was an 8.8, and episode 10 was an 8.5. So the first half average was an 8.5 out of 10. The second half average is an 8.72 out of 10. And the whole series on IMDb, if you go by these scores, is an 8.71 or 8.61, sorry. But the actual IMDb score is an 8.5.
Okay.
Which is huge for IMDb, like, because they're tough critics. So.
They're, yeah.
And then Rotten Tomatoes has a series score. So the critics, actually, do you want to take a guess at what the critics scored it? There's no consensus or anything, but.
All right. I'd say like a 92.
Oh, so close. 93.
Yeah. Nice.
Actually, you got right in between. The critics is a 93 and the audience is a 91.
Okay.
So right in between. Yeah, obviously highly regarded show. Everybody that I know that's watched it loves it. So if you haven't watched it, we both definitely recommend checking it out.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a Letterboxd scores?
I do actually.
Obviously, we know what ours are, but
yeah. So Letterboxd has a 4.3 out of 5. Let's see. Our buddy Alan gave it a 4 out of 5. Jess from HMC gave it a 5 out of 5. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. All right. We'll move on to the scare section where we're going to give a scare rating for the second round of episodes. And then,
were we ranking the episodes?
Oh yeah, that's right. All right. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. All right. How did you rank the episodes?
So number 5 for me is episode 9, Screaming Mimis.
Okay.
Number 4 is episode 8, Witness Marks. Number 3 is the finale, Silence Lays Deadly. Number 2 is episode 7, Eulogy.
Okay.
And then my favorite is episode 6, Two Storms.
All right. So we're a little bit different. My 5th one was episode 7.
Okay.
I still think it was really good.
Yeah.
It was just my least favorite in this episode or in this round. My 4th one was episode 8. My 3rd was episode 9. My 2nd was episode 10, the finale, and then my 1st was episode 6 as well.
Yeah.
I just think episode 6 was just such a great follow up.
Yeah.
So, little different rankings.
Yeah.
All right. Now we'll move on to the scares. So, how did you rate the scares in the second round of 5 episodes?
I don't think it was as many scares as the first half. So, I'd say, like, that jump scare is really good. But really, there's not many scares in it. So, like, I'll say like a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And your scariest scene out of these ones?
You know, I'm not going to say the jump scare. I'm going to say something different. I'm going to say whatever Theo and Hugh see Liv crawling towards them in the 6th episode.
Yeah. All right. That's fair.
Yeah.
For me, in the first 5, I gave it an 8. So in the second 5, I agree with you, is slightly less scary. So I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I feel like the second half of the series kind of was more dramatic in a sense, where they're kind of figuring out everything that's happening. We still have like some good effective jump scares and some creepy atmospheres and stuff. But yeah, definitely not as many as in the first half. And scary scene, I said the jump scare in the car, man. Like, that shit was like, holy fuck. So, but anyways, Yeah.
Nice.
Guess we can wrap it up.
Yes, sir.
One thing we failed to mention is that this is our season four finale. No real reason. We're over the 50 episode mark for the season, so just start over and then season five. I don't know if we're gonna change anything up. I don't know if we're gonna do anything new. We'll talk about that. But to kick off season five, we're going to be redoing our first ever episode, and we'll be talking about Midsommar. I'm assuming we're going to do the director's cut this time.
I mean, that was my plan to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, we both have that now. We actually have like significantly better recording equipment. So the quality should hopefully be better.
I think so,
And we kind of know what we're doing a little bit more. So I'm excited. This has kind of been something that we've talked about doing for a couple of years now, and we finally have decided to get it done. So yeah. Thanks for listening to these two extra long episodes on The Haunting of Hill House.
You guys.
Come back for season five.
5 years.
It's crazy.
It is.
Yeah. All right.
Talk to you later.
Peace.